This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. It has been a busy week for lawmakers at the Capitol. It started with Governor Pat McCrory winning a lawsuit that struck down the General Assembly's process for appointing members to three environmental commissions. And then there's the simmering feud between the governor and the Senate over tax incentives. Lawmakers also advanced bills that would eliminate religious exemptions for student vaccinations. And they proposed legislation that would limit the ability of local citizens to fight large developments. WNC Capitol reporter Jorge Valencia has been in Raleigh covering these stories and is with us now. Jorge, welcome. Good to have you.
Hello, Frank.
All right, let's start with the governor's judicial victory at the beginning of the week. Tell us about that.
Yeah, this kind of set the tone for the week, at least as far as the governor's office and the General Assembly. And a three-judge panel that was appointed by the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court sided with the governor in a lawsuit, saying that the General Assembly had overstepped its authority, had breached basically the separation of powers by creating three commissions that are going to oversee important environmental issues and appointing a majority of the members. They said that and also one of these commissions is independent. So the panel said these commissions are really in the governor's realm, because the governor's job is to enforce the laws that are written by the General Assembly, one. And two, that the governor really should be able to appoint more members than he was allowed to appoint to the commission.
All right. And so the governor won that battle in the court. Mm-hmm. He was supported by two former governors as well. Mm-hmm.
That's right. Yeah. And they so really the three plaintiffs. Yeah.
So you got three plaintiffs. They were supported in that. Senate leader Phil Berger doesn't like that decision at all. Let's hear from him.
The decision that we have at this point, just like the governor's position in the bill, is totally inconsistent with the practice that has been adhered to in North Carolina for well over 100 years.
All right. Senate Leader Phil Berger, yeah. Does that mean that he and other legislative leaders plan to appeal?
Yes. They said that they plan to take their right to appeal. So it seems like this case is probably going to go to the state Supreme Court.
All right. And let's hear. One of the panels, by the way, was the Mining Commission, and they canceled their meeting today. I mean, this really raises questions about those bodies that are in motion right now. Who appointed them? Will any of their work be invalidated by all this?
Yeah. Well, let's talk concretely about like one of these commissions. So this is one of them is the Coal Ash Commission. This is the most high profile one. This is one that's overseeing the management of the coal ash dumps that Duke Energy has to take care of across the state. So a question that people are asking is like, what's going to happen to the work that they've done so far? So I spoke to John Wester. He's the governor's attorney, and he said that he expects that the work of the commission is going to continue as is, and what they've done will stand, but that he expects that the governor really should be able to appoint all of the members of the commission. He got to appoint 3 out of 9. He expects that the governor, and reminder, this is the governor's attorney saying this, he expects the governor should be able to appoint 9 of the members. We'll have to wait and see what's going to happen, because this case is going to get another hearing in court.
All right, we will wait and see. Meanwhile, Senate leaders outlined a new jobs plan Wednesday that could rebalance how the state spends millions of dollars in incentive money. So how does the Senate plan compare with the governor's plan?
Okay, so just bear with me. I'm going to try to use the least number
of numbers?
The fewest numbers possible in this when we're talking about taxes. But the crux of it is that the Senate's plan is more conservative than the House's plan. And the governor is supporting the House's plan. So this is the first number that I'm going to give you, is that the Senate plan would further reduce the state's corporate income taxes. It was almost 7% in 2012. Right now it's 5%. They want to reduce it to 3% by 2017. Okay, so we've got that. The House plan wants to keep it at 5%, and that would change only if tax collections go beyond a certain threshold, which they haven't yet, and they don't look like they're going to anytime soon. So that's the biggest difference right now as far as taxes. Separate from that, we've got an account of sorts, a coffer, if you will, to incentivize companies to come here to the state. So the coffer is empty, or it's almost empty, and the governor and his commerce secretary is asking for more money, and the House is proposing to giving them $15 million for this, right? The Senate is proposing giving them $5 million. Mm. So the reactions that we have from this is the governor calling the then calling each other basically, you're going to break the bank. They're both each the Senate leader saying that about the governor, and the governor is saying that back about them too.
Because one spends more, but the other reduces taxes more. Mm-hmm. And one way or another, you got to pay for the operations of government and public services.
Yes.
And the hope, of course, on both sides is that this is going to generate so much business that the income stream is going to increase even if you spend more or cut more on that.
Yes.
All right. So Phil Berger wants to limit the incentives. Here's another whole story about whether or not money gets spent on rural and urban areas. Another fight.
And that's an ongoing tension that we've had, sort of like rural versus urban and suburban. And the this job incentives coffer, right, of the $15 million or $5 million or whatever we wind up with. The thing is that according to fiscal research at the General Assembly, 86% of that fund last year went to the three most populous counties in the state, Wake, Mecklenburg, and Durham. 86% of it. So to give you an idea of the way that that Senator Berger, who is from a rural area, sees it, he released a pie chart that looks like a Pac-Man figure, basically the three biggest counties eating the rest of the rest of the counties. So they want to limit so that those three counties can only get up to 50% of those incentives.
All right. And of course, those are the biggest population centers, but is it proportional? I want to move on to another subject now. House Local Government Committee approved a bill yesterday that affects how activists can slow down developments across the state. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so I'm going to put it like in the most simple terms. Representative Skip Stam, he's a Republican from Wake County, proposed this bill. It passed in this committee that, in a sense, would curtail neighbors' ability to protest when an adjacent property is going to be rezoned from like residential to commercial. So right now, the way it is, if you get a certain percentage of your neighbors to protest, you file a petition to your city council. Your city council has to have at least 75% of the vote to be able to ignore that and rezone it anyway. So what this bill would do is it would still allow neighbors to petition their government, but it eliminates that that 75% requirement. So it's not as binding as it was before, or as it is currently, I should say.
All right, Skip Stam, the Speaker pro tem, quoted Thomas Jefferson when he talked about removing this high threshold for changing zoning regulations.
Thomas Jefferson defined democracy, I'll get this for you out of my books, as basically what a democracy is majority vote. And you have to have a really, really good reason to require something other than a majority vote, like changing the Constitution, because that affects people's fundamental rights.
We are doing a legislative update today on the state of things. That was Representative Skip Stam defending a bill that would allow a majority to pass a zoning change instead of a supermajority. So there's some discussion about this. How did it go?
Yeah, there was a lot of tension in this hearing. Representative Paul Lupke, he's a Democrat from Durham County, he proposed an amendment to the bill that was sort of a compromise. He said, I'll tell you what, instead of the city council needing a 75% to be able to ignore this petition from the neighbors, how about two-thirds? So 66-67%. And there was, I mean, I want to show you this piece of tape because they took a voice vote and there was some question about the decision about where this voice vote went. So let's listen to that.
Here we go.
You have the Lupke Amendment before you. All those in favor of the amendment say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The noes have it.
Mr. Chairman.
Amendment failed.
Mr. Chairman. That sure didn't sound like a majority against.
Right. We've taken the vote. Vote is concluded. We'll move on back to the bill. Any more discussion on the bill?
So much for democracy there, because the noes really didn't have it. I mean, by my ear.
I'm
a professional listener. I counted by ear. Let me ask you about that, because I know in the United States Congress, you can then call for a division or a roll call vote. You can say, well, I don't think the speaker's ears are as good as he thought they were. Therefore, let's take the roll and make a count. Can't you do that?
Well, Representative Carl Ford, he's a Republican from Rowan County. He's chairing this committee on this particular day. He's the second person that you heard there. And he's, well, I mean, you heard him. He said, we took a vote. let's move on. So that's the course that it took. Now, Representative Bill Brawley, he's also a Republican. He's from Mecklenburg County. He appeared to be supportive of this amendment. So he presented verbally, he didn't have it in writing, but he presented a very, very similar amendment again. But somebody else had already motioned to adjourn the meeting, so they adjourned the meeting. So this wasn't really heard. So I expect that this bill is scheduled for the House floor on Monday night. This is going to come up on the floor again, and maybe not even on Monday night, because Monday nights tend to be kind of easy, and this bill is probably going to get a decent amount of a debate.
And by then, I suppose they will definitely call for a roll call vote rather than allow for a voice vote on this one.
I suspect that
has to go to the Senate if it's approved,
and then it would go to the Senate.
All
yeah.
right. So listen, we've only got a couple of seconds left, but there is some a movement on whether or not you can have a religious exemption for vaccines in school. Tell us about that.
Yeah, three senators. Two Republicans, one Democrat, want to remove the state's exemption for parents to be able to not vaccinate their children if they say that it goes against their religious beliefs.
All right. So, and where is that now? Where does it stand?
Well, right now, they said that they've got the support from the Senate leadership to at least hear this bill. And as you might expect, I mean, it has to do with children. It has to do with the First Amendment. It's going to get pretty heated. So it's going to go to a committee in the Senate, and then then we'll see where it goes.
All right, we will stay tuned. Jorge Valencia, WNC's Capitol reporter. Thank you, Jorge.
You're welcome.
You can visit our website for links to the articles that we talked about on today's program. Well, it's time for a break, but we can fix it in time for the local pun championship. We will be exchanging. Yes, we will. You've taken my breath away with the humor and the comedy that's going to follow. You won't believe it. It's a pun contest. The reigning pun master will be here. You can challenge us with your own puns, 877-962-9862, on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio. It's a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Stay tuned.